Hey, Elsie and Jessica. This is Kim Trumbo of the Generosity Philosophy Podcast. And I just wanted to send you guys a voice message because I just started SpeakPipe on my website. And nobody's left me a message yet. So I don't know if you guys get bombarded with them or you're going to look and go, woohoo, somebody actually left a message. But I thought in the event that it is the latter, by golly, I'll be that person to send you a message and tell you that every week I listen to She Podcasts. I think the two of you are hilarious, like the dynamic duo. I love how there's always background noise and Jessica, your cat is a riot and now you've got your adorable baby. And I think you guys are real. You keep it real, real talk. And I love that. And you are inspiring us women and some dudes who I do know listen to your show. And I just want to thank you for that. I think you're doing a great job. I can't wait to see you both again at Podcast Movement 2015. And just keep being you. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hello, Miss Jessica.
Hello, Elsie.
Oh, my God. We are so...
How are you?
I'm doing great. I am excited. I am amped up, and I'm also super...
She's amped up.
I'm amped up, and I'm very, very tired. Like, I have this, like, insane amount of, like, a haze in the front of my brain that I can feel, which is... But I'm very, like, tired and impressed by my level of productivity when I have to get something done. But I'm not quite as impressed with my level of, like, this, like, I just disengage completely when I get the thing done. So I guess I work better with deadlines, but I don't want to be that person.
Well, too bad you are. Why don't you want to be that person? Give yourself, if that's how you work the best, what's wrong with that?
Well, because then I have to, you know, pull all-nighters and get it done, you know, and be all proud of myself for everything I've accomplished when I could have done it through the year. And then I'm talking about my taxes now, everybody, if you didn't know. I basically put everything back, you know, and as a self person with my business, I need to keep, you know, records, and I have the records. They're just all over the place though. So I had to grab them all, put them all in one little pile. And that took hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of sifting and moving. And so that's no good. So anyway, that's why my brain is tired and I have not caught up from all of that work, which is...
Listen, we all say we're going to do it throughout the year. I say this every year. Last year I even purchased something to allow me to pull it in very easily. I still didn't do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm just never going to do it throughout the year. I'm always going to cram at the last minute and get all my expenses together and pour through my statements on 4 accounts.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a loser when it comes to my taxes and I don't care. I'm done caring about it.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad.
Someday I'll pay someone else to do it.
It's just that, yeah. And then, I mean, it was great. I mean, after it was done, but geez, everybody paid. Like, my whole family, like me, I paid. It was a beautiful day. Everybody was playing outside, and I'm, like, hunched over my computer, and you could see my shoulders inching to my shoulders more and more and more. Ugh, it sucked.
Yeah.
So, anywho, that was me. That was my life. But now we get onto the show, and it seemed like, let's just get into a little bit of feedback that we got from our last our feminist rant that we went on to.
Yeah, last. A lot of conversation about it.
Absolutely. So that was like our episode number 40. So if you want to listen to that and you're just new to the show, that would be a really great episode for you guys to kind of catch up on. But we did have a lot of communication going on the Facebook page. And
yes, we did.
Yeah. So it was really interesting to see so much. Well, I have to say that for the most part, it was like, thank you for somebody talking about this. And I think that was really what made me the happiest, to hear that kind of a response. It wasn't so much, thank you for agreeing with me or we totally agree with you. It was more like, thank you for speaking up. Thank you for saying it. Right. And I guess, you know, once I think about it, I'm like, I guess nobody really talks about that stuff.
So really what we're saying is you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. You're welcome. Yeah.
We're happy to do it and you're welcome.
So yeah, so all of you guys that did that kind of stuff for me, it's that for us and that took the time to voice your opinions on that thread, we are very, very thankful. And at the end of the show, last show, I asked for you guys to share your dissenting opinions. And those are actually the ones that I really kind of wanted to highlight too, because I feel that we do need another voice or maybe another opinion at times. So what do you think about that, Miss Jess? Because I'm going to read some of Marie Segarra's stuff. So you continue while I look and I pick out some of the stuff that she mentioned on here.
What do I think about what exactly? About the dissenting opinions?
Yeah, or like, because you said, you know, it was very interesting. That's what you said to me. It's very interesting, the comments that we got over there. So,
well, Segarra's, like, she had some stuff to say that I didn't really think of. And I was very close to being made to feel responsible for not thinking of those things, but then I came to my sense. Right. Because I can't be responsible to think of everyone's point of view. Like, I can only think of my own. I mean, my own experience. I don't know. I can only be made to think about my own experience. Like, I mean, I'll let you address it because you said you wanted to address it. But, like, you know, Pamela Levin said women need to stand together. We don't necessarily have to blast the feminine equality voice, but simply know and believe we have the unrelenting ability to empower others. And I liked that. I thought that was nice. Kathleen said she sat straight up when she heard us talking about
because she was asleep.
You're welcome.
Because she was about to go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, like Alyssa Martin, who said, my man says being a feminist is just part of being a good person. Like thinking gay people, disabled people, and black people are equal to you as well, which is true. Of course. I mean, of course. It's just that, you know, we didn't talk about those things because that wasn't what the conversation was about. The conversation was about being a feminist, not being racist or prejudiced against disabled people or gay people. But Stephanie, posted a quote, Stephanie Pollack, that says, men think feminist is a women's word, but what it means is you believe in equality, and if you stand for equality, you're a feminist.
Ha! A feminist.
Sorry to tell you. You're a feminist. That's it. And that was a quote from Emma Watson when she addressed the UN on International Women's Day. And sadly, that's true. Like it or not, you're a feminist. You want equal pay? You're a feminist. You don't like it? Then, you know, tough toodles.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me think a little bit. I mean, let me read some of Marie's comments here because it just encompasses a larger conversation. And it also made me think, and this is why I want you guys to kind of voice your opinions and the other thing is how to find where you stand, right? To listen to a conversation and then find how to voice it out. So this is what Marie said. She said, one of my issues with using the label in today's world is why is it that the only terminology in use for someone with an interest in equality. Why isn't there a term in use for someone who is interested in equal rights for everyone? Women, people of color, low income, non-hetero, different labeled, etc. I don't feel the issues of women's equality are the only ones I deal with on a regular basis. And Jess's whole discussion on diversity pointed that out. And she said she sometimes makes the effort, which many don't, as they aren't even aware of the issue, to have diverse guests. But in her mind, women aren't diverse because they are 50% of the population. I'm pretty sure non-white people make up at least 50% of the world's population too. I feel the whole world, a quote, feminist debate, unquote, is contemporary Western society is just another part of the whole divide and conquer strategy that has allowed straight males to control so much of the world's power. Why should I even spend time discussing my point of view on women's rights when I want everyone to get the equal treatment, not just women and men, but people in all different groups? Doesn't this debate just take attention away from the real problem that some groups have substantial privilege when compared to others and don't usually want to give that up? And many women are members of those privileged groups.
So let's stop there because she makes a whole nother point.
Yeah. So, go ahead. No, you go first.
Okay. Well, a while back, my daughter had this whole thing going on about her pants. She was sent home for wearing an outfit because in the rule book, yoga pants are distracting to men. And you know, her outfit was not even close to being distracting. She looked terrible. She was wearing like a hefty bag. Anyway, the point is, and it was on the radio and it got tons of media attention. And people, total strangers, were commenting on whether or not my daughter was dressed like a hooker underneath her jacket or whether or not I was a terrible mother for letting her go out of the hat, whatever. And what I learned and what I observed is that there's always somebody who will take a political issue and divert your attention to something different. So here they're talking about yoga pants and whether or not you can make a rule on whether or not it's distracting to boys. And about half the commenters go, this is why we should have school uniforms. Well, that's a totally separate conversation.
Right.
Totally. And so Marie, I hate to say, because I'm sure, you know, you're lovely, Marie, but I feel like that's what you're talking about is simply a diversion, because we weren't, I mean, yes, like, okay, so no, I don't agree that talking about women's issues is just a diversion from talking about bigger issues. I think by bringing in the topic of bigger issues, you're diverting from women's issues, because that's what the conversation was about. Like, we're talking about plain women in podcasting, not diversity, not age, not sexuality, women versus men. And in some cases, that's all the conversation needs to be. Like, for example, women in, you know, like if you were talking about news broadcasting and how long it took for a news anchor to be a woman, you know, that had nothing to do with whether or not she was black or white, although, you know, she wasn't. I mean, I'm sure that they didn't have a lot of diversity in newscasting for a really long time. But that was a totally separate conversation at the time. And I don't know, maybe if I was I sort of felt like, well, if I was more ethnic, I would be more sensitive to that. And then I was like, but wait a minute, it's just a diversion tactic, because we weren't talking about that. And not only that, but like, why would we talk about that in this case when the whole conversation was centered around women, not what color they were?
Right. I understand. I understand. So, I don't think she meant it as a diversion tactic, though. I have to say.
She didn't.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, some people just naturally take an issue that people are talking about and go, but you should be talking about this issue.
Right.
And that's what I think she was doing.
So now we'll get kind of a little bit. Well, yeah. So, okay. So this kind of clarified it. While I was reading.
It's a pretty political thing, right? Because when you talk about, even when you talk about guns, when you talk about like a kid shooting up an elementary school, half the people want to talk about mental health in our country, and the other half the people want to talk about gun control.
Right.
It's just it's a diversion. It's all diversion.
And it really – and so this brings me back to the women's sensibility, which I do believe is very important here, because as we were talking about it, and it's something that I – and I've been, you know, kind of not quite as open to say that this issue has never been comfortable for me to talk about, because I have always talking about issues about women in media, women speaking up, women's rights, women, you know, being seen more – simply because I have been one of those people that, for whatever reason, I have never felt it in my life. Mm-hmm. I've just gotten what I've gotten simply on merits. But I have hit a ceiling. And the ceiling that I've hit has not come from my lack of speaking up about this or even viewing this as a problem. Meaning women not with enough voice or not enough female representation, but really about my way that I see the world, which is what this conversation really started to get deeper into, because it really is about women's issues for women, for us to learn how to have these conversations in a way that is that casts light on what we're talking about here, that brings awareness to what we're talking about here. I've been reading a book called Knowing Your Value. Have you heard of this, Jess?
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's Mika Brzezinski. And she really, it's really about women, money, and getting what you're worth. And she talks about, I think she hit on every single thing that we've hit in the past two episodes that we've talked about women in media and feminism and like the way that we are different than men and all this stuff. I mean, coming from the perspective of feeling lucky, not asking for what you need, like kind of keeping your hand down, doing the work that people don't really want to do because somebody's got to do it. And generally you do it. And she's been calling attention by interviewing all of these incredible women who have powerful, powerful positions in both government and finance and so many different areas in pivotal times when they did not ask for what they were worth, particularly about the money issue and whatnot. And she really starts to cast light on our own behavior that has added to this. Less about society doing this and more about how we need to value ourselves. So coming back now with what Marie was talking about here, it is an opportunity for us to first figure out how we can get ourselves into these positions where we can start to have deeper conversations like what she was mentioning it, so that we can then take it deeper, so that there's more of a balance of the conversation. Because now the conversations on race, conversations on any kind of these other political issues that she was bringing out here, the things that really matter to her, are really only being had by men, really, for the most part, or men as the majority. And yeah. If we continue to speak up, then that conversation is going to be more balanced, which in history, and even in this book, which is really great, she starts to quote statistics of how amazing it is to have more women as chairman or as board members, to bring balance and more, efficacy and success to companies and protocol and things like that, because it's a more balanced expression of both sides of the equation. And that's when things get done. So at first, we just need to get that. And then we can start to address the diversity issue. And you're right. We were talking only about women at this moment. I think that the race issue, I don't feel qualified to really address, even though I am, I wasn't born in this country. I am Latina 100%. I am an immigrant. I came here when I was 9 years old. I didn't get to be a United States citizen until I was, I think it was like the year 2000 is when I got my citizenship. And so it's really, I'm a pretty new United States kind of person here. But at the same time, again, being Latina hasn't colored who I've been in the world. It just hasn't. I never allowed it to be. I just continued to do it. I used it when I needed it, like when I needed to apply for a university. That's when I took the Latino token card and stuck it in there. I am the poor little immigrant girl that got, such great, all these fantastic grades in school. Right. Yeah. And when I was on a boat, no, I'm just kidding. We weren't on a boat. We came to this country with 5 suitcases. That is true. So, that sounds like super incredible. But in all honesty, we just worked our butts off and that's it. It never was like about being immigrants. So I get the conversation. I just don't feel I'm qualified because I honestly have not felt it. It hasn't been something that's been thrown in my face. And so that's why I feel I'm not qualified to have that conversation. Although that made me want to reach out to more women of color if they would want to come on the show and have a conversation about, or facilitate a conversation about, race in the media as well. And I know Baratundi Thurston is starting a show. I don't know if he already started a show as well. All centered around race relations. And so I feel that those conversations are also being had. I just haven't seen a conversation primarily focusing on women's issues, which is...
I just don't know why, if you're having a conversation about one thing, you have to have a conversation about everything.
Yeah, well, that's tough. And you're right. I don't think that we can, because I don't feel I don't feel qualified to have that conversation. I would have to really plan in order for it to be effective. And I feel if we, and so let's keep going with the comment, because it keeps on going, and then we can talk about why it feels a specific way for us as well. And she continues with, at the same time, Jess and Elsie somewhat seem to discuss being a woman as synonymous with being a straight mom. There was little to no conversation about the challenges that non-moms or even two women moms face. There are plenty of non-moms who never took time off from their career, can travel whenever and wherever they want, and still face wage discrimination and won't be invited to speak at social media events. Anyway, interesting stuff. And thanks for all at least getting the conversation going about diversity. So a few shows that aren't directly on that topic even approach it. So it was great to listen, even when I didn't always see eye to eye with you ladies. So all in all, it was a really positive thing. But see, that's another thing too. It's like, I feel like I don't have a point of reference to be able to approach, my experience from the subject, without being a mom now. It's such a huge part of who I am, and it colors my world and in my world in so many different ways that I'm not sure I could comment.
Well, here's the thing. What she said was, we seem to discuss it as synonymous, and that's not true.
I see.
We didn't discuss it as synonymous. What I did was share my own experience, that that you either take time off at the beginning. You know, I was young and I had to, everyone else was passing. I mean, I don't even remember talking about this as far as wages and how much money I got. What I believe I said was everybody was taller than me and it was annoying. But like, I don't think being a woman is synonymous with being a straight mom or straight or being a mom. It's just that when I can answer a question about whether or not I've been faced with like, you know, men being more privileged or having more of a say or whatever in the workplace, that's my experience, is that they were either promoted because they could do the job longer or because, you know, like I said, they were having conversations at their own, you know, eye level. And I was like a foot below them trying to keep up and it was super annoying. So, that's all the experience I have. I don't have experience being a lesbian mom or being a lesbian with no kids or being straight with no kids. Cause I've had kids since I was 21. I was pregnant at 21.
Right. I have had experience, you know, but again, my whole entire path has been non-conventional. Like I didn't actually right. ever have a 9-to-5 job until like 2007. For the rest yeah. of the time before that, I was doing like, I was working as an actor. I was teaching yoga. I was just I was working all kinds of odd jobs. Like I've never been in a corporate structure whatsoever. And you know, when you're in Hollywood, of course there's the women men thing, but that's a whole planet all in itself. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that, I don't think that's yes. Of course there's the wage differences in terms of actresses and actors or female actors and male actors. But at the same time, that's a whole other subculture that is insane. Mind you though, in this book, which I really would love to have all of you ladies go out and get, because it's just amazing, the Knowing Your Value book again. She has been like a journalist basically for most of her life. And then she has stories of how, you know, this one time she and her partner were coveting like a very specific interview during the election, you know, like the first election, how they went out and they really got this coveted interview, I think right after Hillary Clinton was nominated. I think that's what the time that it was. And they camped out for for 2 days to get this coveted interview, and they finally got it. And it was like amazing. Like the work, journalistic work that they did was insane. And then they were so proud of their work. And then she gets a phone call from the bosses. And the first thing that they asked, they said like, why, you're never going on air wearing that clip in your hair the next time you go on it. Mm. And she was like, totally taken aback, because she was thinking they did such an amazing job. The guys didn't have this kind of comment. They were sitting outside. She didn't have her makeup on. She didn't have her, you know, she wasn't camera ready, in quotes, because they were camping out trying to get this interview. Right.
Right.
And so the only thing that she got a phone call, it wasn't like high five, great job. It was like, don't wear that clip in your hair. And then she continues to tell the story is how she goes, and guess what I said after that? I'm sorry.
And then
she hung up the phone and she was like, why? It was like, what would have,
why?
It's like, yeah, it's like she goes into all of the psychology and the cultural things that we have as women, that we end up doing that all the time, even when we are in the right. Even if she was feeling, I can't believe I got this phone call, what comes out of your mouth is not what you yeah. really want to come out. And then she questioned, you know, and she actually brought that same question to other people as well. It's like, you know, what would have happened if I wouldn't have said, I'm sorry, and I would have stood up for myself and I said, excuse me, I've been working my butt off out here, you know, whatever she would have been able to say. She goes really deep into all this, and it really goes into a much larger issue. There was also another story of another one of the luminaries that she interviews here, that she was having a big, huge, what do you call it? Like, it's kind of like a teaching for Google or something like that. She was doing she was been invited as a speaker, and she said she could only take a few more questions. And then after that, put your hands down. So put your hands up if you have questions, and after a minute we'll be done. And, they, you know, people started putting their hands up, and then she took a couple of questions. She said, okay, we're going to be done. But she continued to take questions for another minute after that. And then a woman came up to her and said, thank you so much for teaching me that I need to keep my hand up. And she said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, when you told everybody that we were done with questions and your hands needed to go down, all the women put their hands down, but the men kept their hands up. And it was really intriguing how she didn't even notice that. But there's stuff that we're not seeing that we need to be aware of. And that's why I feel the conversation is so important. So it doesn't matter if you're a mom, and it doesn't matter if you're gay. It doesn't matter if you're working full time. It doesn't matter if you, yes, of course, these things affect every single one of us. And we all have these little bits and pieces where we don't stand up for ourselves, where we say, I'm sorry, just because that's what comes out of our mouth, where we do the work that nobody else wants to do just because it needs to get done. And generally we end up doing it. And the other thing is like, she really talks about feeling lucky, how she never really asked for more because she was feeling so lucky that she had gotten the opportunity. And I can tell you for myself that I feel like that all the time. I'm so lucky to have what I have. I'm so lucky to be paid and to work from where I am. And it's like, you don't want to rock the boat because you're so lucky. And then,
yeah, but that only can last for so long, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. But that mentality is still there. Nobody taught me that.
After a while, I think people start to feel underappreciated.
Absolutely. And then it becomes an issue, right? Of this goes inside the book. But you guys have to I'm listening to it, which is why I said it. But it's a really, really a fantastic book. So thank you, Marie, for your opinion. Thank you for voicing it out.
Yes, thank you. And I hope that we weren't...
But you know what I would love though, guys, and I mean, I appreciate you guys going into the Facebook group, which is what we ask. But if you really, really want to talk, you can just record something. You can do it over, if you go to speakpipe.com/shepodcast, there's a little button there and you can just tap that button and send us some audio feedback. We would love to have your voices be heard as well, because I feel that's really important. It doesn't matter if you agree with us or disagree, but having a myriad of voices and a different layers of voices that we can showcase on this show so that we can take this to a different level. So it's not really just Jess and Elsie talking about this stuff, but you guys have opinions and this is a great platform for you to do it. And maybe it could, you know, start a deeper conversation all around. So
yeah, exactly.
Anywho. All right.
Yes.
So speaking,
all right. Next.
Oh my God. So here's an article. Of course, I just popped into this and this is going to go into a larger thing. This is an article on the Huffington Post. It just came out a few days ago and this is the beginning of March. This is like early March 2015. Oh my God. Okay. So, and this was the title, What Podcasting Taught Me About Motherhood and Life. And I thought, well, that's an interesting title because usually it's the other way around. At least that's usually I've seen like people like, you know, how to leverage podcasting to become a mother, or how do you get your business, you know, better by podcasting or something like that.
Right.
So it was really beautifully written. It was from the perspective of a lot of insight that happens because this is from a new producer who has been, and I'll talk about this here very soon. She's a new producer that has been recording kind of like a storytelling type documentary style podcast. And she has been recording her life in many different pieces. And she's got such wonderful things to say. One of them, which I really, really loved, is she has like a bunch of points here. She's got like 5 different points. And number 2 was really it hit home for me, which is, you don't always sound the way you think you hope you do. Mm-hmm. And she says, I have an image of my voice floating through the air and landing in my children's ears. Kids, please put on your boots, darlings. I know I've told you 45 times, but please put them on.
Right.
Guess what? That sentence reads smoothly, but when you speak those words, it's not. It's not smooth. When I think I sounded relaxed, I sound tense. When I think I sounded patient, I sound tense. Basically, I often sound much more tense than the voice in my head.
Right. If you know you're recording your life for posterity or for a podcast or whatever, don't you start out being much nicer than you would when the mic's off?
I know, right? But isn't that the crazy part too, though? That you think that you're doing that, but you no longer can get it in your voice?
Right.
Because that's...
Dear!
I know.
As if.
Exactly. So that was like, I just really, I love the take of this, especially because so this is another thing that was really, really important, at least for me, and that's something that I feel podcasters as a whole can really relate to. And a number four for her says, listen to what people are actually saying. If you close your eyes and edit people's facial expressions, their voices often convey something more resonant, real emotion. Spoken messages can be distorted by someone's face. We are human, and so that makes sense. The face is part of the communication package. But there are also the words, and sometimes I don't listen to what people are actually saying. I'm busy about what I will say back and nodding in their face, but not totally listening. I'm paying better attention now, which is true. I think it's so true. It's easier. I think that's why we resonate with people so much more as podcasters, because they're not looking at our faces, and there's not that feeling of you have to respond now.
Yeah.
Which is lovely. So anyway, I'll put a link in the show
notes. But when we're talking, do you imagine my face or no?
No, I'm just listening to you.
Yeah, I feel like I'm much more familiar with your voice than your face. In fact, when I see you in person, it takes me a minute. Like last time I saw you in person, I was like, okay, she's standing in front of me now. So I don't have to, because you know, it's like almost like a instinct is to look away.
Right?
Because I can really hear you.
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. And you're right. It's like, I don't imagine you. And that's why it freaks me out sometimes when I'm on video, because then you feel like you have to look at them, and then you're looking at yourself too, because of course there's that weird thing that, so yeah, it's a little too complicated, but yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's interesting too. I'm sure when you're recording an interview with somebody, you know, not the way we are right now, but let's say we are face to face recording something and I would be listening back, I'd be like, I didn't know she said that. because I would have gotten caught up on just you talking. But so that brings me to her show, which of course, because I'm Elsie, I have binge listened to now.
It's now
my favorite podcast. Again,
of course it is,
because I have a favorite podcast every week. So this is my favorite podcast. Last week it was the Glamour podcast. Yeah. This week it's First Day Back podcast. And the First Day Back is a documentary podcast that follows filmmaker Tali Abikassis, which is who the woman that wrote this article for Huffington Post, as she faces the challenges of picking up her career after an extended maternity leave. The narrative takes a real look at motherhood, gender roles, and work-life balance in a voice by turn serious, funny, and sometimes touching. And it's really just...
Hey, did you...
What? Go ahead.
No, sorry. We're having a little delay. Sorry. Go ahead.
You said, hey.
Yeah. That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So, no, but what's so amazing about this is that it really touches on almost everything we have talked about as well. But it's happening in real life. So it's not like you and I talking about it. She actually is having this conversation with her husband, or she's having a conversation with her producer, or she's having a conversation with one of her friends, or she's having a conversation with her kids. And it's sprinkled with her insight in between. And it's just soup. I mean, seriously, I've laughed out loud. I've like, my heart has kind of broken a little bit hearing conversations. It's just really beautifully done. And she is a filmmaker by trade, right? So the way that she has produced the show is just magical. It really is. I feel, Jess, you would really enjoy this show. And it's only 20 minutes, so you really don't have to listen that much.
Fair enough.
I'm like, it's not going to take you up that long.
I'll try it.
It's 20 minutes long. And it's just very, very well done in a variety of different ways. And it's just the conversations that they're having is basically what we're having, the conversations that we're having as well. So y'all need to go listen to Miss Tally.
Yeah.
And say hey, because I've been accosting her on Twitter as well. I've been sort of like harassing her a little bit with love, of course. I love you so much. You're so great. I love your work.
What a fangirl.
I'm a total fangirl, dude. I am like that. I am so like, seriously, when I find something that I adore, I'm like, dude, I love you. You're so great. Like I'm unabashed, because it feels like I cannot do it. I can't stop myself. It's like, so
I'm proud of your brazenness.
Thanks. Excellent. Thank you. So, but now we're going to move a little bit onto speaking of some race stuff again, because we just left some race stuff, but this time it's going to be race related to podcasting. So Infinite Dial, which we talked about last week Edison Research has just released the first of a quarterly infinite dial report that they have. And so what's been happening, it's really interesting. Of course, you can spin the data whichever way you want. You can spin the data to say that podcasting is booming. You can spin the data to say that it's not. You can spin the data to say that whatever you desire, it can do, which is really an interesting thing for me to watch. But one thing that was brought to my attention just actually a couple of days ago is that there is a little bit of a push for podcasting among like Hispanics. I'm not even sure what the difference between Hispanics and Latinos are. I resonate more with Latino. I don't know what Hispanic is in my, but that's,
hold on. I'll look it up.
For God's sake. Yeah. It's really,
that's
annoying.
That's what a nerd I am, people.
Okay. You look it up. And I just, I'm not sure what that the proper term is, but I just don't like Hispanics. It just really kind of makes me shiver on the inside, that name. But anyway.
Okay. Hispanic means of or relating to Spain or Spanish speaking countries, especially those of Latin America, or a Spanish speaking person living in the U.S., especially one of Latin American descent. That's Hispanic. Okay. And then what was the other one?
Latino.
Latino. Okay, here's Hispanic versus Latino definition. Okay. The difference between the terms Hispanic and Latino is confusing. Hispanics are defined as people from Spain or any of the Spanish-speaking countries in Latin America. Latino has developed more varied definitions. One definition of Latino is a Latin male in the United States, a Latino.
Or a Latina is what I call, but a little
right,
later.
Or Latina.
But, yeah.
Right, right, right. So it's there's really not that.
So I
big
guess
of
a- Hispanics, it's like the a worldview kind of thing, and Latino yes. is more like a United States kind of thing,
like a Latin America. Yeah, yes.
With the Spanish. Oh, so the okay, whatever. All right. Well, blah blah blah. Well, it yeah. seems like in terms of awareness for podcasting, you know, white people are 54% aware of podcasting. African American people are 47% aware, and our Hispanic people are 31% aware, which I'm not, you know, surprised over, because I always think like, you know, it computers in my family did not come easy. And technology is not really a something that the Hispanic or Latino culture really aligns with, I feel. And this is just from my own, you know, experience. It's a little bit less techno advanced. So I don't necessarily see that. And there's also the low income, of course, aspect of things.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, it is rising. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because Podcast One, you know, that podcast, what is it? What are they? Like a network?
Channel.
Podcast One yeah. Channel Network, who really house the superstars in podcasting. And I'm not talking about superstars in podcasting as in the space, but superstars that were not podcasters that are now into podcasting that have already existing very
yeah,
big names.
Right, right.
They have just added a Latino person, a Hispanic person, who is like a, yeah. you know, one of those morning show DJ type people.
A morning zoo guy,
a
right?
morning zoo type of guy. Yeah. A guy, Latino
What's
guy.
Up?
With, yeah, like one of those, I think. But I think he's from Mexico. I think I wrote it down here in our show notes. As El Piolín podcast. I have to.
El Piolín.
So, yeah, so he is a Mexican. Let me see. Sotelo, daily. Actually, I don't even know where he's from. It doesn't really
it doesn't say.
Say.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't say. Hold on.
It just yeah. seems like he's. I wonder if it's even in Spanish. I'm going to have to, of course it has to be, but it is, I guess it's, this is the first venture into Spanish language podcasting. So that's good.
Well, famous.
Famous. Right.
Because that's, I'm sure there are Spanish speaking people that have a podcast.
Of course. Yeah. That's
fact,
not what I meant
in
to say.
Our group, I believe.
Of course. Of course. Laura Elgueta. She's got, her, podcast. I know that comes into mind right now, but I can't remember the name of her podcast, but, yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was like something for us to kind of chat about, which was really intriguing. And
yeah, I think that's exciting
in terms of this. And
it says it's a potential breakthrough. But I mean, I feel like that's only because, you know, they're famous. Like, is it really a breakthrough or is it just a breakthrough for famous podcaster for famous Hispanic people?
I think it's a breakthrough because it's Spanish language, and that's why I'm saying breakthrough. I think that it's
okay.
a breakthrough because it's a Spanish. Yeah, that's it. It's just that. There's like a higher named person in the Spanish speaking podcast that is now high profile. That's That's it. That's why it's a breakthrough, because there isn't, or there haven't been, at least, that I know. And I think that we're going to close.
Right, fair enough.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean, it's a breakthrough the way cereal is a breakthrough for vaccine.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that. So fair enough. So at least there's a little bit more diversity, people. So at least a little bit more, a little bit more color. So I found this article by Christopher Penn as well, of course, on podcasting. And Christopher S. Penn, who is a co-founder.
I know Christopher S. Penn.
Yeah, PodCamp, Marketing Over Coffee. That was one of the podcasts that I listened to right from the beginning and had been. I'm a sporadic listener here and there. I come in and check him, Chris and John Wall, periodically in their stuff. You know, they've been at it for many, many years. So, and Chris is like one of those data people. Like, he's like total data freak, insane data freak. And he really has a really great, I love this article. He said, should your marketing have a podcast? And I really dug it because I see articles like this all the time, and all of them are not very well reserved, not very well researched. All of them are like, you're missing out if you're not having a podcast. You should have a podcast because of the benefits, one through five. And it's the same things you've heard over and over and over and over again, with no examples, with no data, with nothing. And
Chris?
Most of the time, and most articles about podcasting, Chris, in fact, this is a very good article, and I really dig this. I think this is the last paragraph of the article, which it says, does this mean a podcast belongs in your marketing plans? And he says the answer is a definite maybe. Why?
Landbreaking,
insight that's going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, why, in comparison to blogs and photos, audio podcasts are second only to video in resource demands. For every minute of audio you hear, there's between 15 and 60 minutes of production behind the scenes. This is time spent interviewing, gathering material, recording, editing, and publishing. Podcasting is resource intensive, so success or failure comes at a higher cost. Here's the litmus test for whether you should podcast. If your existing content marketing is succeeding wildly at its goals, such as your blog, your email newsletter, etc., then a podcast is probably worth trying. If your existing content marketing is mediocre or failing, a podcast isn't going to make anything better. Amen, right?
Brother.
Succeed
that's
at
very well stated and very true.
And
it will not save your ship from sinking.
No, it will not. Succeed at simpler forms of content marketing first. Once you've mastered the art of creating great content and text and images, then branch out into audio and video. And I think that is so true. So true. Because it is so, it's a resource hog. Now, the way that I would see that this is it's kind of slightly backwards is in a show like I was just mentioning right now, which the first Day Back podcast. And, you know, Tally has a talent for telling these stories. She has a talent and she has an expertise in creating media and editing things together and understanding how things fit together to create this incredible product. So I feel that for people who are already kind of have this deeper intelligence, if you will, at creating something bonus, then go for doing something like audio and video. Obviously, she's a film producer, so she knows how to do that. She's a filmmaker. So she understands those parts and she understands the resources needed. But if you are just doing it because somebody said podcasting is like the cool, hot thing to do, you're going to be in for a big, big surprise. And I love the fact that he said that it really – podcasting is resource intensive. So success or failure comes at a higher cost. Because you're right. If you start a blog and you don't blog for a while, it's all good.
Right.
But usually,
Owelski.
Yeah. And if you do a podcast, though, generally you do invest some more money than you would if you started a blog. I mean, if you want to host your own blog, what, for the first year is how much? Like, what, $15 or something like that?
Yeah, but it's the time, too. And it's the farming out or the figuring out and the learning the tech. It's a lot of investment. It's not a lot of monetary investment, but it is a lot of investment in your, you know, if you're going to give it a go, you got to really give it a go, or you've wasted a lot of your life, basically.
Yeah, totally. You know? And I feel that podcasting is kind of like that as well, but it takes it even higher.
I mean. Yeah,
no, but I mean, I'm talking because I was thinking you were talking about blogging, because blogging is like that
podcast
as well. Because you have to
blogging. No, you don't have to learn fiddles to start blogging. You just open up your website and start writing some nonsense. I mean, you really don't have to take a class or do anything. Podcasting, you do. You have to take a class and learn all. No, yeah, blogging is no investment.
It's like, yeah. And
sorry.
No. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. And so it just becomes a little bit harder for you. Like the failure process is bigger, you know, like,
yes.
And it's not even failure. I'm saying if you want to give it up, it just feels like you're giving up more. Like there's, it just seems like more dense of something to give up. So anyway,
yeah, that's true. I agree. Anyway, I love Chris Penn. He's a cool cat.
He is. And I haven't seen him at any of the new like pod camps or,
I know,
or podcast related conferences. I wonder if he's going to be showing up too.
He's an old school.
He's an old schooler. But yeah, he started, you know, he was one of the first daily podcasts. He was doing a, financial, student loan financial aid podcast, mm-hmm, from the get go. And yeah, I believe it was a daily podcast and it was, very, very short, of course, but that was a very, very niche, obviously niche subject, right? It was, yeah, about financial aid for students.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but he's very good at what he does. So those are the kind of the topics I wanted to cover today, Ms. Jess. I didn't really have anything really huge, but I was really moved just by reading that the Knowing Your Value book. The Knowing Your Value book has been very powerful, and it's made me think that these are conversations that we really do need to have a little bit more of, and to recognize patterns, yeah, of behavior that we have.
So. Would you like to have a conversation about a surprise topic, or are you not into surprises?
No, I'm into surprise topic. Let's do it.
Okay. So, as you know, I was driving my daughter to the airport, and on the way home, I was listening to Howard Stern, as I do.
Of course.
And there was this, he was talking about this guy named Ari, and I'll have to find out his name, Ari Schleff or some nonsense. Apparently, Howard has some very strong opinions about podcasting. He thinks it's a bunch of nonsense and shenanigans, to say it nicely, because he feels like if you want a career in broadcasting, you can either, you know, sit in your room and pretend to be a broadcaster. You can go get on terrestrial radio and become a, you know, what he said was go to Hartford, Connecticut, beg them to put you on the air and see when the ratings come in. Ever do in your life, but you'll know whether or not you're talented. However, if you're going to do it, he said, if you want to do a podcast just to do a podcast, fine. But if you're trying to do it as a career to make money, you may as well just, he said, you may as well just roll down your car window and shout. He said, you'll get more listeners rolling down the car window and shouting out the window than you will. Which, I mean, unfortunately, I feel like that's not true. I don't agree with that. But I did think it was interesting. Yeah, I mean, like, you can't really – can you really become famous and rich just doing a podcast? And I know we've had this conversation before. But, like, whenever we talk about it, you know, the answer is always the same. And I sort of feel like he's right about that. Like, the people who are famous doing podcasting already were on air at some point. His name was – wait, where is his name? I can't even find it now. Ari Shaffir, and it was a March 10th podcast, and he's a stand-up comedian, and he has a podcast, and so he was just saying, like, how outdated Howard was, because, you know, podcasting is the latest thing, and Howard's old, and he doesn't understand, but I sort of feel like, yeah, if you want to make money, you do need to be, like, you can't really get famous just podcasting. What do you think, Elsie?
Well, I know. Yeah. What do you think, Elsie? Pass in the baton. Well, yeah,
Elsie, over to you.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, of course, in the same way that you're defining fame as Howard Stern being a household name. Yeah. I mean, it's the same way as it, like a theater actor, you know, who is famous in theater. A lot of people wouldn't know who that person is that won the Tony. Right? I mean, it's like that's a whole entire completely different media, at least from my perspective. It's like you see different branches. There's a lot of people who are also very well known in the indie film industry that are known in the big giant money makers, right? It depends on who you want to be in that industry. And if you want to have the caliber of impact that Howard Stern has, then no, you probably will not get it at this moment with the way that podcasting is, because we don't have the ears. We just don't. It's just people are not right. listening. Right. Would She Podcast get that kind of, let's say, would we be more famous if we were on terrestrial radio? Possibly. But, you know, there's been
Hartford, Connecticut. No, come on. No.
Well, you know what? The Satellite Sisters have been at this for a long time. They were on mainstream, like terrestrial radio, a lot of different times. They still had to work their butts off. They still had to, you know, and there's still the possibility of somebody taking you off the air, which is why they're podcasting as well, right? That was a huge thing that happened also for my other friends who started off as podcasters, and they got a show on like Sirius, I believe, on the Catholic channel, and they did like a show called The Catholics Next Door. They were hired. They were podcasters, then they were hired. And then they, you know, then the show was they just stopped producing that show. And oh, well, ski, they have no job now. Right. So then they had to figure out what they needed to do. And then they went back to podcasting again. They started to do it in a different thing. But what I'm getting at is that you have more control. I believe you have more control like this, because nobody's going to tell us to get off the air, Jess. Nobody.
Yes, I know. But I know. And I agree with that. But you have to really, I mean, I think you have to campaign your ovaries off in order to get the kind of reach that Howard has on Sirius. And he brought his audience with him when he went there.
Like, oh, yeah, of course.
He's been popular on web radio is because he already had a huge audience from being on, you know, from being through NBC, through being in a New York station. So I don't know. I just was kind of sad that he was like, his attitude is podcasts are bullshit, because I don't think that's true. But I do kind of feel like, yeah, I mean, to say that he, you know, doesn't know how you can really make money on broadcasting is ridiculous. Obviously, he knows how to make money broadcasting.
Right. And I guess I'm just, I don't know. I mean, I do. He's been doing this forever, so obviously he knows what he's talking about. And I just think that he's also seeing podcasting as a very narrow thing, like very narrow. Like he doesn't see the scope of the medium as a whole. It's sort of like, again, I'll just put it out there, like in terms of movies, it's like somebody talking, you know, yeah. one of those like big directors of the big movies that are saying like, there's no way you can be successful making an indie movie. Like, there's no way you can make an impact being an indie filmmaker, because you're not going to reach people.
Here's what he's saying.
Okay.
If you want to be a big movie star, you can't only star in indie movies.
Right. Exactly. Well,
that's,
you know
what he's saying.
Okay. So
and I agree.
Okay. That's true. But then that bears a question. Do you want to, like, okay. So then, okay. One of the reasons that I quit to, you know, acting is because the roles that I was getting were on TV shows that I really didn't want to be on, even though that was where the money was at. You know, yeah. like, you know, do you remember that, where's that blonde, that Baywatch blonde girl with the boobs?
Pam Anderson.
Okay. She had that show VIP.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay. I had a guest star on that. I was a guest star on that show. I had like an entire like episode on VIP, and I never told anybody because.
Are you on IMDb?
Yeah, but I don't. You have to pay for that, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, yes, I am on there, but my pictures are not on there or anything like that. But it's just like one of those things where I was just like, you know, I never told anybody that I was on that show because I was mortified, because I was a trained theater actor for. Gosh, it's
okay.
No, that's what I'm saying. But I wouldn't have wanted to do it. That's what I'm saying. It takes the power off of you. It makes you have to take stuff, or that's the way I was made to feel. It makes you like when I started to say, no, I don't want to go on a daytime soap opera audition. You know what I got? I got pushback from my agent saying, you need to take whatever we give you. If not, we're going to drop you.
Dude, you were in Orange County? That's a great movie.
Yeah, but they cut out most of my scenes.
Oh, balls.
I was the maid.
Yeah, you have all, every last name is, okay, she's played every Latina.
yeah.
Nelly Lopez, Carmen Martinez, Katie Vasquez, Sasha Santiago, and Catalina. That's ridiculous. And Lucia.
See, I'm telling you. And so,
you don't even look Hispanic. No offense.
Well, hello.
I mean,
which
not
is,
like that.
Which is one of the reasons why I didn't get a lot of the... Okay, this is another thing that I used to get a lot too. You're too pretty.
Oh, well, that I agree with.
Because, so if there's a star that's attached to a project, if you happen to be better looking than she is, then you're not going to get hired.
Yes.
And then, and also the other thing too is just like, I didn't look, just like you were saying, I did not look like Jennifer Lopez. I don't look like Jennifer Lopez. I don't have curly brown hair.
Yeah,
I don't have brown eyes.
America Ferrara.
So
you could totally pass for non-Latina.
I mean,
you are kind of dark. I mean, your skin is dark. When I see you, you're always pale though, but I guess you are kind of brown.
Because I've been in the mountains, but I'm more brownie. But still, it's just like I was more like the ethnic, but it's still at the same time, I didn't fit the mold of what they wanted. My eyes are green. Yeah. My hair's like straight and black and dark. Yeah. And it just didn't fit the mold of what they were looking for.
Yeah, your eyes are green. Yeah, that doesn't help. Right.
So then it freaks people out. And that's what I'm saying is that there's the control of what you want to put out in the world was not there for in terms of any kind of the mainstream stuff. So what Howard is talking about, of course I understand what he's saying. And yeah, if you want to do it up, then you're going to have to go into mainstream something. You're going to have to push for that. But what if you don't want it? Then I don't want it. I mean, you know, if you want it, I'll follow you, Jess. I'll push She Podcast into mainstream radio. But mind you, we're talking about podcasts.
I'm not talking about that. No. I'm not saying I have to be a famous radio DJ like Howard Stern. I just thought it was interesting that he thought it was crappy. It made me sad because, you know, I'm a huge fan of his but I'm a huge fan because I admire his interview work, not because I give a crap about his opinions about budding technology. I don't care.
Right. No. And no. But it does hurt a little bit when you start to hear that somebody, especially when somebody you admire, but I do, you just have to kind of, define what he was doing. And then when putting it to the movie kind of metaphor, then you see that it can work. Yeah. He's right in one way. And then he's not right in another way. So I agree with him. And then I don't.
I'll end on this. He's a huge feminist.
Is that right? That's exactly it. Oh my God.
He is. He has three daughters.
Yeah.
He's a huge feminist, and he always is going against anybody who's, you know, like Bill Cosby. He thinks is a sociopath, and he's huge into women's rights.
Oh well, good for him. I haven't listened to Howard since I was in.
Okay, I want you guys to give me feedback if you're super tired of hearing me talk about Howard Stern.
No, don't. Yes. Well, you know what? Send us feedback over at speakpipe.com/shepodcast because we're wrapping it up now. We've been going a little bit over an hour now, but I think that's good. So if you have any feedback, and we really would love to pepper in some voices, opinions, dissenting opinions, complimentary opinions, send us your stuff because we really would love to play it. And as you heard at the beginning of this episode, we had a little bit of love coming through our speak pipe pipes. And as we exit, we'll have some more speak pipe love coming out behind. So we'll have so much going on, and we really want to make sure that you guys are included. And
the survey.
The survey for yes. So yes, we do have a survey, and what are we gonna use for a link? Should we do a pretty link for that? Shepodcast.com/survey?
I think it is that.
Is it?
I mean, look, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, we have a survey that we would love for you to take. Okay. The link will be in the show notes. This is going to take you less than 30 seconds. Tap it within the show notes in your phone. Tap it in there. You'll see
it
exactly.
shepodcast.com/survey. And yes, it takes less than 30 seconds, and it will really, 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 really help us.
Absolutely.
Know who our listeners are.
Absolutely. Because we really do need this from you guys. We've gotten at least, we have over 100 responses now, but we would really love to have. To hit at least 250.
Yeah.
So please.
So do it.
It's going to help us out so much. Thank you very much. And thank you, Jess, again for the conversation.
Thank you.
It's my happy time.
Yes.
And we will see each other next week. Okay.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Oh, my God. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yo, Jess and Elsie, it's Jen Leonard of BrandNewWave.com. I am just trying out this very cool SpeakPipe thing as I'm driving to work and getting a lot of cars and buses honking at me. Just wanted to give you both a huge SpeakPipe virtual hug and lots of thanks for both of your respective support to me as I've been developing over the past year my technological prowess. I finally have my podcast up. I think there are about 6 episodes so far and lots more to come. And I love She Podcast, and the community is so supportive. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Love the show. Keep it up. I am a devoted follower.